And the first message was brought up that back in Isaiah about the ears that are dull and the eyes that are blind and the unwillingness to see. And then Jesus and his disciples, later apostles, talking about the same thing, quoting that, talking about the deaf ears, that wouldn't hear, that didn't have any interest in the message. Oh no, I want something else. I've already decided what I want. And then, of course, the tremendous blessing that you and I share, blessed are your ears. Because when they hear the truth of God, they recognize and they perk up. And blessed are your eyes. And when they go across these words and we see the hope, we see the life, we see the opportunity, and we can get behind that and we can be energized and be enthused, and we can move forward with that energy. It makes me think a little bit of, talking about ears and eyes, and thinking a little bit about Stephen, the deacon. And he was, what did the people actually do? They were so enraged. They were so in their hearts, dead set against the message and the preaching of Stephen. They said they stopped their ears, right? It wasn't bad enough that they didn't have a desire to hear. They didn't even want those words to dirty their ears with their impact, with their effect. They stopped their ears and they ran and they... When I read those verses, I think of somebody going, la, 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 la. Just, you know, comical a little bit, but also awful in their just anger and animosity for the Word of God. In every era of history, true believers have faced challenges, many challenges. We strive to live a life of faith. We try to be on guard, seeking to embrace what God says, seeking to resist and push away evil. We're tugged at by society around us, by the sin around us and in us, clinging to us. We're tugged at by our own selfish desires. How can we keep to the path that God has shown us? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Lots of messianic prophecies in Scripture. People educated in the Torah were not unaware that a Messiah was soon to be coming on the scene back in this time. His coming was expected. It was prophesied. Yet much of what Jesus did was unexpected. Though his coming was expected, his actions were unexpected, and this seeming contradiction, there was of course no contradiction between the prophesied Jesus and the Jesus who showed up, but the seeming contradiction in the eyes of a great many led those many to refuse to believe and many to actively oppose and get out there and do something about it. Not simply to disbelieve, but then to actively take a role in trying to squelch. So as we turn here to verse 14 of Matthew chapter 11, Jesus here is speaking of, I would say he's speaking of John the Baptist, but he's also speaking about Scripture. And he's speaking about, are you willing to listen? Are you willing to comprehend that maybe your understanding of Scripture needs some modification in order to be accurate? Because he says in verse 14, and if you will receive it, because many won't, many wouldn't, many couldn't, many didn't. But if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was again prophesied to come. Jesus appealed to those who would set aside their own notions and deeply ponder what the scripture said. You and I have read scriptures. Maybe we've read them all the way back to our childhood. And as we've grown, we've probably come to realize that we had some of them misinterpreted. We thought they meant one thing, and later on, as our thinking matured, as God worked with us, we come to understand that, well, that's, or maybe that was true, but maybe that was the kindergarten version, and now I've learned the first grade version of what that means, and the second grade version, and the high school version, as God leads us. So again, Jesus appealed in verse 14 to the people. Are you willing to receive it? To set aside maybe what you thought it used to think it meant, what you've been taught for years that it meant, and actually ponder the scripture afresh. In verse 15, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. So again, he said, if you will receive it, and he presented a correct interpretation. But it's only for those that have ears to hear. Jesus would speak to those who were humble enough to listen, even if the words took them in directions that they were surprised by. So what about me? Do I have ears to hear? Do you? And how can we benefit from pondering this question? And so I've just simply entitled this, Ears to Hear. In Matthew chapter 12, we're going to look at a few different places in Matthew, in addition to a couple of other scriptures. But in Matthew chapter 12, we could pick it up in verse 22. And Jesus performs a miracle. It says, there was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spoke and saw. And so you might ask yourself, what would you think if you saw that happen? Because we're going to see what the Pharisees said, or what some religious leaders said, but we're also going to see what some bystanders said. Did that take some sort of special insight to say, wow, that's a miracle, wow, demons being thrown out, that sounds like something God must be behind. Again, Jesus performed miracles. In verse 23, it says, all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Again, they knew that there were prophecies, messianic prophecies, and that the timing was somewhere in the vicinity of when he should be expected to appear. Some of them were open to the thought that Jesus might be Messiah. Verse 24, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow, right? I don't even want to read what they said. It's despicable. Twisted entirely around. No, this guy doesn't fit our cookie cutter expectation. He must be on the opposing team. Others, again, these Pharisees were shocked by his message. They were shocked by his methods. And they didn't want to look any further. And so they openly and strongly opposed him. And so in verse 25 through 29, Jesus speaks, you would think, to both. There are these Pharisees, there are these others who did believe, and Jesus opens his mouth and he speaks. And he says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Is it likely that Jesus' words were going to convince these people who had just
accused him of being in league with the devil? I don't think that's a very likely thing. His words were meant to be a witness against them, but they were meant to strengthen that little kernel of belief in those who said, couldn't this be the son of David? And so he uses some sort of logic, we might say, in verse 26. Why would Satan fight against Satan? And then he, you know, uses some words that are meant to sort of counteract what the Pharisees had said in verse 27. And in verse 28 he says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then you people who said, could this be the Son of David? You people are on the right track. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. So he's speaking here to encourage that little bud, that little kernel of belief that was in those who had ears to hear. In verse 30, he said, he that is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Each person who hears, who heard Jesus Christ pretty much soon fell into one of two camps, either believing at its various stages or firmly opposed to. There really is no third, there's no third ground. There's three different categories. No, we either listen and heed, or we take up arms against Jesus. We each are active in either a belief and then following of Jesus, or are active in an unbelief and then standing in opposition against Jesus. And so a first point then is we need to choose to listen. To choose to listen and hear and heed. And just to be different, I'm naming my points after describing them. So with this next verse, we'll move on to a second point. So the first point is choose to listen. We all have to choose either for or against. In order to be in that category of ears to hear, we have to choose to listen and to hear and to heed. Let's turn just a page or so over to Matthew chapter 14. Jesus was a busy man. I'll always have my thinking from this point on sort of filtered through having watched some of those seasons of The Chosen. So I sort of picture some of that activity, even though I know that's just a dramatization. But he spent time teaching crowds of people. He spent time training his disciples, mealtimes, opportunities to teach, walking down the road, constant contact. And yet he, even though he was God in the flesh, he needed spiritual refreshing also. And so if we look at verse 22 of Matthew 14, so again, the 5,000 were fed, the teaching, the hubbub, that sort of starts to quiet down. And in verse 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side. And I guess when I see the word constrained, they probably took some convincing. Wait, why should we don't want to separate? We want to keep learning. We want to debrief after this last episode with the 5,000 and the teaching and the feeding. And he constrained them, verse 22, while he would send the multitudes away. So Jesus arranged for some quiet time. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was calm, he was there alone. Of course, he was there alone ever since he dismissed everybody. Why did he do this? Again, he needed that quiet time. He needed that time of spiritual refreshing, time spent in solitude with his Father. As we sort of spend time meditating, we not only spend part of that time in prayer, but we spend it in sort of working out our own thoughts. Our ideas come to our minds and we think them through, and we might hold on to this thing but dismiss that thing, and maybe develop a thought that we're having as we plan for something, or as we try to think through some topic that we find relevance in. There was always somebody else who needed healing. There was always somebody else who needed to be fed. There was always some other 10,000 gems of wisdom that Jesus could be teaching. There was always, and in your life and mine, there will always be 1,000 concerns that clamor for our time. 1,000 things that are, ooh, I got to do that. Ooh, I can't do, oops, I just remembered I hadn't done that yet. All right. There's always 1,000 concerns clamoring for our time. There will never be enough time for all that we might wish to do. I know we have teachers in the room, and I don't know how many times I've been told, I didn't have time to do my homework. I didn't have time. And of course, my answer is typically, yes, you did. You didn't prioritize. You didn't choose to do this with your time. That's, you and I have to have the priorities that God wants us to have. We have to learn to prioritize what we do. And so a second component of having ears to hear is that we need to dedicate time for God. We need to dedicate time for God. Jesus knew everything, had all the information, had all the wisdom, knew what steps he was going to go through. He prioritized quiet time with God. You and I don't know all those things. We need that time with God all the more. Dedicate time for God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus here is talking about actions that were taken out of pride, and he speaks here in verse 5. He says, when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. And that being seen of men is all they're going to get for their efforts, he says at the end of verse 5. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in secret, the invisible Father. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So again, this admonition in its original context had to do with pride, and don't pray to be seen of others, but pray to be heard on high. It also speaks to you and I about sort of shutting off the distractions, of being focused on God. Of at that time that we choose, right? Jesus didn't take his Nintendo Switch up there on the hill with him when he went to, after he dismissed the crowds, right? He put away everything that would be a distraction. I think it's important, this concept of being in the moment. If I'm changing out a lock or a press bar on a door, I have to be focused on what I'm doing, because I have a customer and I want them to be satisfied, and I want to do the job well and efficiently and be gone sooner than they thought I'd be done. And right. And when I'm teaching a lesson, I want to hit the highlights, and I want to make sure the students are understanding it.
I can't be thinking about, oh, I still have to do this over here. Oh, I forgot to do that over there. We need to be in the moment. If I'm changing my brake pads, and yet I'm thinking about, ooh, I didn't write lesson plans for next week yet, and end up leaving out the bolts that hold the caliper in place, because I wasn't present in the moment with that thing that I was doing, it causes trouble later on. It's not a job well done. And so we all have our various things that take our time. Right, if I'm standing at the stove and I'm cooking something, I probably shouldn't be daydreaming about some other thing. I should probably be making sure that stuff doesn't burn, or that I don't get, you know, don't spoil dinner or get it all over the place or whatever that might be. And so this thought here in verse 6 of enter into your closet and shut the door. It's almost like a sensory deprivation tank. All right, I'm not being distracted. My cell phone's all the way across the house. Even if I get a message, I won't even hear the little bling to distract me from, ooh, I wonder who that was. Or the other things we might think of that are so easy to, ooh, that's important, I better go do that. When really what's important is what we've designated as important for that block of time. And that prayer time, certainly there's nothing more important than that. So point number 3, remove distractions. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17. We know that we need to hear. We know that God's word isn't something to be taken lightly. I'm not trying to communicate that point to people who are not aware of that. We all know that. Sometimes it's good to hear just some practical advice from Scripture about how maybe we can achieve that. Acts chapter 17. So as we... There was some troubles in Thessalonica. It says in verse 2 here that of Acts 17 that Paul, as his custom was, went in unto them and for 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Them meaning those who were assembled in the synagogues, so Jews by race or proselytes of the gate who had adopted the Jewish faith. We went in unto them, and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So, there was the synagogue, it was full of people. Each one of them heard the word expounded. Each one of them heard these Old Testament Scriptures opened up with the light of Jesus' now history shined upon those Scriptures and what they really meant and what they entailed. Everybody heard it. But how many heard it? So again, as he opened up, as he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, it says in verse 3, what I just mentioned, that he opened the topic and alleged that Christ did indeed need to suffer during his first sojourn on earth, and that he had risen again from the dead, and this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is the Christ. But again, he didn't say that in a vacuum. He said that by turning to this scripture and that scripture and that scripture and that scripture and that scripture. Opening the scriptures, reasoning to them out of the scriptures. They all heard it, and some of them believed. Verse 4. Some had ears to hear. Some of them believed and consorted with. So we're now going to go and we're going to approach these gentlemen, Paul and Silas, and we're going to ask them for more insights, for still more, right? That hunger, that craving, when God opens our ears, when we are willing to let God do it. Some of them had those open ears and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, quite a few, and of the leading women, more than a few.
Some heard. Some had ears to hear. Some did not. Verse 5, the Jews who did not believe, moved with envy, and then we see what people do when they're unhappy. The ends justify the means. Oh, we're going to get false witnesses. We're going to go out and get lying liars and we're going to make statements and get these guys thrown out of town or put in jail or killed because we've chosen opposition to Jesus. Again, there's no third set. They heard and they immediately were divided into two camps. Those who began to believe and those who dug in their heels, stopped their ears, metaphorically speaking. And so in verse 10, it says, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. And so they began to repeat the process. As we read in verse 10, who, coming there, went into the synagogue of the Jews, naturally on a day when the Jews were assembled. So they just moved on because they were convicted. They knew the word was truth. They knew that they had an obligation to share the truth of God that they had been brought to understand. So again, there was that synagogue in Thessalonica, preaching, speaking, here's the scriptures, here's what they mean, here's how they were fulfilled. And then we get the one camp of believers and the other camp of the non-believers. And so we end up in Berea and we do the same thing. We, Paul and Silas, do the same thing. Preach the word, open up the scriptures and say, see this right here in this scroll where it says this, that refers to Jesus and here's how that was fulfilled. These were more noble, verse 11, than those in Thessalonica. They weren't more noble than the ones we read about in verse 4, those who had ears to hear and who believed. They were more noble, certainly, than these connivers, these lawbreakers who went to any means necessary in verse 5 and onward to persecute this and try to stomp it out. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they, sort of speaking of the synagogue membership as a whole, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. They were willing to listen. They were not wanting to be duped and just fall for whatever flim-flam artist was there. Because, of course, they were willing to listen, but as we know, they searched the scriptures whether those things were so. They were willing to hear. Are we willing to hear? Again, this really has nothing to do with that new YouTube channel, but we might extend it off to something like that. Well, here's the truth of God, but it's being broadcast in a new way that sort of reaches the style of media that young adults are tuned into. Am I going to look at that and I'm going to say, nope, that's not the way I learned it. It's got to be thus and such. Or do we listen? Is there meat in that message? Let's see. Does it agree with Scripture? Are they watering things down? Is it the truth of God? And again, I don't mean to pick on that. It's just kind of a piece of news of the day. We could apply that to any teacher. Is what they're teaching true? I mean, I've listened to Sunday preachers on the radio sometimes as I'm driving down the road, and sometimes they see things that are true. And sometimes they're way off base in certain other things.
I like to say it keeps me awake because I'm either awake pondering, yes, that's true, or I'm awake by thinking, no, you're dead wrong on that topic. And ears to hear and test, right? These Bereans tested the spoken word that they heard. They tested it against the written word. They tested the spoken word against the written word. And hey, look, they back one another up. They are not in contradiction of one another. They found the words to be in agreement. To be willing to hear, to be willing to have our biases questioned, right? We're supposed to be ready to give an answer. Well, that means we should be ready to hear an opposing argument and be able to formulate a response that pays respect to the other person, but that goes boom directly to the Word of God and says, this is not me saying this. Right here it says, to be willing to hear, to be willing to have our biases questioned, is a very positive state of mind. So my fourth point is simply, go to the written word. We could turn to all sorts of other scriptures that come to mind about the reliability of the Word of God. Let's turn over here to Hebrews chapter 4 as we wrap this up. Hebrews chapter 4. God has opened your ears. God has given you the beginnings of understanding, to me, the beginnings of understanding. He wants us to crave more. He wants us to search out more. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is quick, is living. Again, reading through Hebrews chapter 4, the fifth time, the sixth time, the seventh time, the eighth time. If we're not getting something more out of it, maybe we're not asking. Because our limited mental capacity, simply as physical created beings, is such that there will always be more. The Word of God is quick, it's living, it's powerful. It speaks of life and death. It speaks of truth and lies. It speaks of eternal life. It speaks of a lake of fire. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Again, when those Pharisees saw that miracle, Jesus cast out the demon and now the man could speak and he could hear. And then what was in the hearts of those Pharisees came bubbling out. And what they really thought of scriptures and how that it really, if it didn't fit their perception, then it was evil. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Again, God has opened so much to us and he wants us to crave that and to crave to have more revealed to us. He has preserved profound instructions that you and I need for us in his word. And so we hear him as we study the word, as we study it with that ready mind, that mind that is willing to say, you know, I've always thought it said this, but I wonder if. And so we go and we dig in the Bible. We don't go and dig on the internet. I have this Bible study group and at school that we meet once a week, and there's always one or two kids who want to bring up TikTok. And the truth is found in here. The truth is, you know, somebody on TikTok probably said something true once. I can conceive that that's possible. But you're only going to know it's true if it agrees with this. So let's just reach for this.
So we hear him as we study his word with a ready mind. We hear him when we seek out a quiet, undistracted place to pray. We need to be active listeners. Active listeners to God. Now, if we're willing to do that, we will feel some of that power. We will feel some of that piercing and that dividing. And it won't always leave us feeling like, wow, you know, I've been doing things perfectly for the last, right? It might leave us feeling, okay, I need to change that. Dividing yesterday from today. Okay, that was yesterday. Today, now that God has shown me this, thank you, God. I'm going to go that direction. The active listener is going to feel some twinges, feel some pinches, feel some... We have to actually desire. You and I, of course, should desire that. I'm sure we've all prayed that prayer, at least on a few occasions. Knock me over the head if that's what it takes to get my attention, Father. If I'm not listening and you're saying something and my ears are not hearing it, give me a boot in the rear end so that I'll get shaken enough to comprehend what you're trying to tell me. We need to actually desire these aspects of God's refining. Now these aspects, these points that we've briefly looked at here could apply, several of them at least apply in human relationships as well. We have to have open communication, two-way communication in order for any relationship to survive, to beyond surviving, to thrive, to flourish. Jesus knew the Father better than any two humans have known one another, and yet he still wanted to go out and spend some time. God is building a family to inhabit eternity with him. Let's not lose sight of the importance of actively desiring to hear God's thoughts on any matter and on all matters. Let's dedicate one-on-one time to seeking him. And let's pray that he gives us ears to hear.